Well, it's good to be here, as we heard in our gospel this morning. I think when I was a teenager, I'm not sure I would have wanted to wake up. I didn't like waking up very early on Sunday morning, and this Sunday we have one less hour, so I'm very happy to see all the teenagers here. Really good. Well, this morning's reading from Genesis, which is our first reading, is the call of God to Abraham. It's spoken almost 4,000 years ago, and it begins with these words. Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And it ends with these. Abram went as the Lord directed him. Well, this morning in this homily, let's take this time to consider journeys. When we think of journeys, something we've all taken, what comes to mind? Undoubtedly, you'll think of vacation journeys to explore a new place or visits to relatives. You might also think about journeys that don't involve a physical trip, the journeys of starting a new job, enrolling in a new school, joining the military, or forming a household after marriage. Sometimes we've also journeyed to escape a difficult situation. Now, as you consider your life's journeys, I'd like to ask you another question. What motivated you to make your journey? Well, if you're like me and you're honest with yourself, in almost all the journeys we undertake, our decisions are based primarily on calculations that we've made ourselves. As an example, in 2 weeks, Ann and I are going down to Tennessee to see our son and daughter-in-law. We're not going because God told us to, and that's probably okay because the journey is a relatively small one. But hopefully, we are not forgetting to ask for God's direction before we head off on more important journeys. Well, in the Bible, which is full of journey stories, the most remarkable ones are initiated and directed by God. Consider Abraham's. When he awoke on the morning God called him to go to the land of Cana, Abraham had no idea that his life was about to change. Yet, when Abraham obeyed, not only was his life different, but a new chapter in God's dealing with humanity began. The course of history was set on a new trajectory. It was God who spoke, but Abraham who went. Consider how different his journey was from the one that Monsignor preached on last week. In the first reading last week, Eve was told by the serpent that if Adam and she ate of the lovely fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would become like gods. When they fell to this temptation, this lie, God sent them out of the Garden of Eden on a journey they didn't want to go on. As Genesis makes clear, Abraham was the antithesis of Adam and Eve. In this undistinguished herdsman, Abraham, God found a man who trusted him and strove to act according to his will. Abraham was a man of prayer whose ears were open to what God had to say. When God spoke, Abraham set off on a journey that would last the rest of his life. To do so was a radical act of trust because he cut his ties with his family and home. He traveled into an unknown country, accompanied only by his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and a few servants. The book of Hebrews says of the patriarch Abraham, by faith he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country. Well, having God direct Abraham did not mean that this would be an easy journey. For he encountered powerful warlike rulers in Egypt, Philistine, and Cana. Sarah was barren for many years, and when finally elderly Sarah and Abraham were blessed with a son, God put him to the ultimate test, asking him to sacrifice his son. The promises God made to Abraham that he would make of him give him a great land and a vast people were not fulfilled by the end of his life. Abraham was buried next to Sarah on a small plot of land that he had to buy for himself. Again, paraphrasing Hebrews, Abraham did not receive what had been promised. but saw it and greeted it from afar, a stranger and an alien on earth, seeking a better homeland, desiring a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called his God, for he has prepared a city for him. Abraham was a man of great faith. The call of Abraham was just one of the first in scriptures, but virtually all the saints of the Bible, Old Testament and New, patriarchs, kings, holy men, and holy women, prophets and apostles, received a call to a journey. They embarked on perilous paths, some involving travel to a new land, others requiring a complete change of life. Perseverance and courage were required, yes, but most of all, they had to trust that God would be with them through moments of doubt and danger. They knew themselves to be blessed, not because God lifted all their burdens, their journeys were tough, but because he gave them the strength they needed to bear them. Now, today's gospel account of the Transfiguration tells part of the story of another journey, the journey of Peter, one that began at the Sea of Galilee and ended in his martyrdom. Jesus led Peter, James, and John up the mountain where they stood in awe as he was transfigured before them. Christ conversed with Moses and Elijah. God the Father spoke from the cloud. And Peter's reaction was one of wonder and of awe. He wished to stay on the mountain, to end the journey at that point. Let us build tents for you, Elijah and Moses. But Jesus instructed him to rise, descend the mountain, go down into the valleys of the world. There was more work for Christ to do, and certainly more work for Peter as well. The narrow, rugged path that Jesus led Peter on, that would eventually lead Peter to heaven, past eventually led him up another hill outside of the city of Rome and to a cross. Well, it's been 1900 years since the last book of the Bible was written, and the calls that Abraham and Peter received, we may understand intellectually, but we may say, what does this have to do with me? It seems to me, in many times of my life, that God has stopped speaking. Well, we've all probably had those experiences or those times, but it's not so. God continues to call each and every one of us to journey with him. Well, we may protest, but I'm not hearing his voice. Consider this, perhaps it's because we're too busy talking. Our thoughts and our words drowned out his voice. Our prayers are filled with an endless stream of requests that too often reflect our plans, not his. We object. I'm not exceptional in any way. God won't bother with me, lest we think he would not call us. Remember that the people in Scripture whom God called were common folk. Abraham and Peter were not among the rich and the famous. From the witness of Scripture and from the history of the church, we can learn that every ordinary man or woman who follows as best he or she can the call of God, and in doing so turns from vice, who struggles against addiction, who fights laziness of soul, and who accepts the difficult obedience that God's call brings with it, is helping to create the spiritual city in which human life can flourish. Jesus wants all of us, each and every one of us, to be his followers, to build his kingdom. Finally, we may lament, well, that's too much, Deacon. I'm but a small star in the vast firmament of heaven, not an Abraham or a Peter. What will it matter if I put a bushel basket over my light and refuse to shine? Are you so sure it won't matter? To your toddler who's constantly looking up to you, to your neighbor down the street who was just diagnosed with cancer, or to your friend at school who's struggling with depression, to the stranger whose path you cross in the grocery store. We are often so nearsighted. It does matter to God, who, when he looks down on his children, wishes to see a tapestry of thousands and thousands of points of light, and not a sky growing steadily darker as one light after another goes out. I'd like to conclude today's homily about journeys with a story of another journey. I was thinking of this week about how discouraged Abraham must have been at times and how great his trust was. And the words of the hymn, "Lead Kindly Light," came to mind. The lyrics of this beautiful hymn were written by a young English clergyman. He had been ordained a priest 10 years earlier. And because of his brilliant preaching, he had attracted a large following. Things were going well for him. The Church of England was powerful, clergy were privileged, they enjoyed the support of the aristocracy, and they were earning a good living. But he was troubled because his country was troubled. Industrialization was putting many farmers and craftsmen out of work. The common people were suffering. Many were turning away from a church that seemed too often indifferent to their plight. Well, disturbed by this, the young priest sought a way to be a good shepherd to his flock. In 1833, he did what at the time was a remarkable thing. In spite of centuries-long animosity that existed between the English Anglican Church and the Roman Catholic Church, he embarked on a trip to Rome to seek guidance from Catholic priests. Well, unfortunately, while he was there, he contracted a serious life-threatening infection. He wished to return to England as quickly as possible, so he boarded the first ship he could. It was during his voyage back that the ship ran into bad weather. It's at this point that he composed this prayer poem that became the great hymn. In the first stanza, the young priest acknowledges his helplessness and prays for guidance. "Lead, kindly light, amidst the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark and I'm far from home, lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet, I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step enough for me." In the second stanza, he admits his past pridefulness and he asks for forgiveness. "I was not ever thus, nor prayed that thou shouldst lead me on. I love to choose and see my path, but now lead thou me on. I love the garish day, and in spite of fears, pride ruled my will. Remember not past years." In the final stanza, he expresses his gratitude for past blessings and his complete trust that God would continue to be with him over the rest of his journey. "So long thy power has blessed me, still it's sure still it will lead me on, o'er moor and fen, o'er crag and torrent, till the night is gone. And with the morn those angel faces smile, which I have loved long since and lost a while." His journey continued, the danger at sea passed, the young priest recovered from his illness. A decade later, he was received into the Catholic Church, and last October, Pope Francis declared him a saint, Cardinal John Henry Newman. Let us make Newman's prayer our prayer as we continue our Lenten journeys. "Father, forgive me for the times I've gone my own way. I need your Holy Spirit to guide me. Jesus, I place my trust in you. Amen."
Please check the bulletin for activities this week. Note the fish fry being served Friday evening in the parish hall. Plan to come and enjoy a great meal. Script is available to be purchased right after this Mass.
Can I thank our teachers and our student parishioners for their involvement in our Mass this morning.